Good morning, everybody. It's another Mike. My name's Mike as well. I think I'm the Mike that's actually been here the longest in this church. Barbara and I joined this church in 1975. So that's a long time ago. But we're going back a bit further this morning. Those of you that are really observant will have noticed that actually, when it said, welcome to our service, it also said, the reading this morning is, and it said, Judges. Yes, now Judges, as you recognise, is not just a chapter and a verse, it's a whole book in the Bible. And it's a book that is a very interesting book. Let me read you just an extract from the Youth Bible. Some of you may have had a Youth Bible. Some of you may have access to one now. But at the beginning of each book, they give you a breakdown of what it's about. Why read this book, it says. See how God does not want his people to follow the crowd. Discover how sin can capture people, but how God can set them free if they ask for forgiveness. And understand how people can become corrupt when they don't follow God. And that's all in the book of Judges. And it goes on to say, behind the scenes, working in a fast food restaurant can be a disaster if the work isn't organized. Fries aren't ready when the burgers are done. The soft serve ice cream runs empty. Customers receive the wrong orders. During the dinner hour rush, lettuce can fly, mayonnaise can spill, and tempers flare as each person tries frantically to catch up. The chaos of an unorganized fast food restaurant is similar to the chaos that Israel was in during the book of Judges. And the last verse of the book summarizes it. It says, in those days, Israel did not have a king. Everyone did what seemed right. That's right at the end of the book of Judges. Under the leadership of Joshua, which was just before the period of the Judges, the Israelites had conquered a whole number of different countries. And they divided Cana into they divided it between the 12 tribes of Israel. But many Canaanites and other people still remained. They didn't believe in God, but worshipped idols and pagan gods. And those other people threatened the Israelites in two ways. First, they wanted their land back that the Israelites had taken away. So the Israelites had constantly to defend themselves. Second, the Israelites married Canaanites, which God had told them not to do. Then they accepted the Canaanites' religious practice, forgetting God. And a bit like the workers in a fast food restaurant, the Israelites needed leaders to organize them and keep them on track. So in times of crisis, God chose different judges to bring the 12 tribes together to fight their enemies. These judges, such as Deborah, Samson, and one we heard about a few weeks ago, Gideon, became national heroes for the Israelites. Judges illustrate a common theme in the Old Testament. When a judge or leader was faithful to God, the people remained loyal to God and prospered. But when the judge died, the people sinned and were conquered. Then in their suffering, they confessed their sin, and God called a new judge to deliver them. Judges reminds us of the importance of always following God and the dangers of us ignoring God. At the same time, it shows that God is always willing to forgive us when we come back to Him. So I say, that's the introduction from the Youth Bible. I want us to focus this morning on one person. And the first time I ever heard about him, or heard of him, was when I lived in Norwich, when I was a lad, when I were a boy, as they say. And there was a ballroom in the middle of Norwich, not far from Norwich Cathedral, actually, just outside the main gate of the cathedral precinct, on an area of Norwich called Tombland, which, as it suggests, it was called Tombland because there had been a cemetery there just outside the cathedral gates. And right there was this ballroom. It was called Samson and Hercules. And I didn't know very much about Samson, or Hercules for that matter, but I knew there was something to do with strength. Samson was strong. But listen to this. This is what happened in Judges chapter 13. And it's reminding us, again, the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord. So the Lord delivered them into the hands of the Philistines for 40 years. And then we read about a man called Manoah. Had a wife. His wife was sterile and remained childless. Then the angel of the Lord appeared to her and told her that she was going to have a son. And he told her not to drink any wine while she was pregnant, not to drink wine, and not to eat anything unclean, because you will conceive and give birth to a son. No razor may be used on his head, because the boy is to be a Nazirite, set apart to God from birth. And he will begin the deliverance of Israel from the hands of the Philistines. So this is how God was trying to get the people back on side. They'd sinned, they were doing all sorts of things wrong, worshipping false gods, and so on. And here he was foretelling that Samson would be born to lead the people back to God. The woman went to her husband said, hang on a minute, you know, for years we've been trying to have a baby, and now you're telling me you're going to have one. After all this time, we'd give it up. I'd like this angel of the Lord that you saw to come and see me. And you read on the story and you can see how Manoah was told by the angel of the Lord that yes, indeed, you are going to have a son. So, you can read their conversation in verse 11. Manoah got up and followed his wife. When he came to the man, he said, are you the one who talked to my wife? I am, he said. So Manoah asked him, when your words are fulfilled, what is to be the rule for the boy's life and work? And the angel of the Lord answered, your wife must do all that I've told her. She must not eat anything that comes from the grapevine, nor drink any wine or other fermented drink, nor eat anything unclean. She must do everything that I've told her. And of course, Manoah was very touched by this and wanted the angel to stay with them. But the angel said no, and so they offered a sacrifice to God. All that is in chapter 13, the birth of Samson. He was to be a Nazirite, consecrated to God. That's what it means. A Nazirite was one who was consecrated to God. Now in chapter 14, we see that not everything that Samson did was above board. When he grew up, he got misled, like us, just like us. He went out and he saw this Philistine girl. He'd been told, you know, you don't have anything to do with the natives around here. You certainly don't get involved with them. But he liked this Philistine girl. He fell for her. I think is the way you put it these days. He fell for her. And his father and mother, when he told them, said, isn't there an acceptable woman among your relatives or among all our people? Must you go to the uncircumcised Philistines to get a wife? But Samson said to his father, get her for me. She's the right one for me. Now, his parents didn't realize it, but this was part of God's plan for the life of Samson. So Samson eventually got married. But before that, he was going to see his girlfriend. He went with his parents. He was going to see the family. And on the way there, he met a lion. Now, what would you do if you met a lion? Run? Be scared? What did he do? He attacked it. He went for it. Tore it apart. And left it dead beside the track. You can imagine it, can't you? How strong would you have to be to beat a lion like that? As you say, we'd run away. We'd run a mile if we could. I guess the lion might well catch us, especially the older ones amongst us, especially the one with the stick over there. No chance of getting away. Be eaten alive. Yeah? But Samson didn't. He killed the lion instead. Anyway, when he went down to see his girlfriend with his mum and dad to meet the family, having killed the lion, eventually he went back. And he went back to marry her. And he turned aside to look at the lion's carcass. In it was a swarm of bees and some honey, which he scooped out with his hands and ate as he went along. Now, if you're like me, I'm allergic to bee stings and wasp stings. And so if I came across a bee's nest, even if I wanted the honey, I'd be very reluctant about scooping it out in my hands because of the fear of getting stung. But Samson didn't. He scooped out some honey, and when he rejoined his parents, he gave them some, and they too ate it. He didn't tell them where the honey had come from. Anyway, they went to meet the family, and they made a feast there, which was customary for the bridegroom to do. And when he appeared, he was given 30 companions. And he said to them, let me tell you a riddle. And if you can give me the answer in 7 days, I'll provide you all with a suit of new clothes and linen garments. If you can tell me the answer. Tell us your riddle, they said. And the riddle is this. Out of the eater, something to eat. Out of the strong, something sweet. Now, somewhere up on the platform here, I have a tin. And I guess many of you will have a tin like this in your larder at home. You know, you'll have a tin just like this one. Tate & Lyle's golden syrup. Don't know if you have that in Poland, but on the tin of syrup, there is a picture of a lion. And under the lion it says this, out of the strong came forth sweetness. And you can see, actually, around the lion a whole swarm of bees. You know, if you've never seen one of these tins before, or never stopped to look at it, yeah? A tin of syrup. There, you've got the picture. Right? Many of you have seen this before, I'm sure. But, you know, this is a tin of sweet syrup. Do you all know what that is in English? A tin of syrup. And you can see the picture of the lion there because it's based on the lion that Samson killed. Out of the eater, something to eat. Out of the strong, something sweet. That was the riddle. Samson got married. And they had to find out the answer to the riddle within 7 days in order to get what Samson was going to give them in terms of clothing. And they didn't know the answer. They couldn't work it out. They're scratching their heads, you know. Out of the eater, something to eat. Out of the strong, something sweet. They couldn't work it out. So they asked his wife, that they just married, find out for us. But Samson wouldn't tell her. And so she cried. Right? That's what all good wives do, isn't it? They cry. When they don't get their way, they cry. You know, you don't love me, etc., etc. You don't love me, that's why you won't tell me. I only want to know the secret to your riddle. What is it? Why won't you tell me? For 7 days he put up with this. Can you imagine it? A crying wife for 7 days. Thank goodness you've never put me through that, Barbara. But for 7 days he didn't tell her. And then, just before the end of the 7 days, he told her. He told her what the secret was, what the riddle meant. And so they said to him, just before sunset on the 7th day, the men of the town said to him, what is sweeter than honey? What is stronger than a lion? Which, of course, was the answer to his riddle. And so Samson was very angry because he realized that his wife was the one that had told them. And it says, the Spirit of the Lord came upon him in power. He went down to Ashkelon, struck down 30 of their men, stripped them of their belongings, and gave their clothes to those who had explained the riddle. So he was good to his promise. He actually gave them the clothing for 30 people because he took it from 30 Midianites. And burning with anger, he went up to his father's house. And Samson's wife was given to the friend who had attended him at his wedding. I think that was a custom when marriages fell apart. The wife was given to somebody else. And Samson was still very, very angry, still very annoyed with the people. And we go on to chapter 15. And later on, at the time of the wheat harvest, Samson took a young goat and went to visit his wife. He said, I'm going to my wife's room. But her father would not let him go in. I was so sure you thoroughly hated her, he said, that I gave her to your friend. Isn't her younger sister more attractive? Take her instead. Samson said to him, this time I have a right to get even with the Philistines. I really will harm them. So he went out and he caught 300 foxes. Hang on a minute. It's an exceptional man that goes out and catches. You try catching that little fox that runs around in the garden out the back here, and you'll see what I mean. catching 300 foxes. That's what he did. And he tied them tail to tail in pairs. And he fastened a flame, a lighted torch, a bare flame. And he let them loose in the standing corn of the Philistines. And he burned up all the standing shocks of, shocks of corn, how they used to harvest the corn before the days of combine harvesters. And they stood the corn up in stocks, shocks around the field, and then went round later and collected them all together. But that's what they did. He burned the whole lot. So the Philistines, who did this? And they were told, Samson, because his wife was given to his friend. So the Philistines went up and burned her and her father to death. And Samson said to them, since you've acted like this, I won't stop until I get my revenge on you. And he attacked them viciously and slaughtered many of them. Well, you can imagine, the Philistines were pretty angry with him then. So he went and hid. He went down to a cave and hid. The Israelites, meantime, his own people, were very annoyed with him because he'd really upset the Philistines who were ruling them at the time. He'd really upset the Philistines and they were taking it out on the Israelites. So a whole group of them went down to Samson because they knew where he was and said to him, don't you realize the Philistines are rulers over us? What have you done to us? And he answered, I merely did to them what they did to me. And they said to him, we've come to tie you up and hand you over to the Philistines. And that was 3,000 of them. 3,000 of his own people. So Samson said, okay, tie me up and hand me over. So they did. They bound him with new ropes and led him away from where he had been hiding. And as he approached, the Philistines came towards him, shouting. And here again, the Spirit of the Lord came upon him in power. And the ropes on his arm became like charred flax, and the bindings dropped from his hands. And he found the jawbone of an ass, a donkey. A jawbone of a donkey. You can imagine how long it is. You know how long the heads are. And the jawbone make quite a good truncheon. Well, that's exactly what Samson used it for. With the jawbone of a donkey, he struck down 1,000 men. What did Samson say? Speaking in riddles again. With a donkey's jawbone, I've made donkeys of them. With a donkey's jawbone, I've killed 1,000 men. Now, all that killing made Samson thirsty. And God did another miracle. He actually caused water to come forth out of a rock and Samson was able to drink and recover. All this killing, all this, the power of the Lord came upon him. You know, God was trying to get the Philistines off the backs of the Israelites, trying to help them. But this is where Samson didn't really help himself, because one day Samson went to Gaza, where he saw a prostitute. And he went to spend the night with her. And the people of Gaza were told, Samson's here. So they surrounded the place and lay in wait for him all night at the city gate. At dawn, we'll kill him. But Samson only lay there part of the night. Then he got up, took hold of the doors of the city gate, together with two posts, and tore them loose, bar and all. He lifted them on his shoulders and carried them to the top of the hill that faces Hebron. Sometime later, he fell in love with a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah. You all know about Delilah. Delilah, oh, she wasn't good for Samson. He fell in love with her. And of course, here again, she's able to wheedle things out of him. What's the secret of your strength? He wouldn't tell her. So he told her something else, you know. Told her a story about what it was, and she tried it out, and sure enough, it had no effect. Samson was still the strong man. And eventually, he told her that the braids of hair on his head, you know, they would be the source of his strength. And so she lulled him into a false sense of security. He went to sleep, and she had someone cut off his hair. Then called out to him, and it says, but the Lord had deserted him. The going of his hair, having had his hair cut, remember he was a Nazarite. Nazarites did not have their hair cut. And he had had his hair cut. And his strength had gone. She called to Samson, the Philistines are upon you. And he woke from his sleep and thought, I'll go out as before and shake myself free. But he didn't know that the Lord had left him. And the Philistines seized him. And remembering all the things that he'd done to them and their people, they gouged out his eyes. And they bound him with shackles that he couldn't escape from. Remember, he'd lost his strength. They put him in prison. And they took the mickey out of him. You can imagine the guards sort of taking the mickey out of him. Well, all of the Philistines used to meet from time to time to worship their God. And they had a temple built for their God. And they took Samson along, presumably, to be able to lord it over him and show him that their God was greater than his. They said, our God has delivered our enemy into our hands, the one who laid waste our land and multiplied our slain. They were in high spirits. Bring out Samson to entertain us. So they called Samson out of the prison, and he performed for them. And when they stood him among the pillars, Samson said to his servant who held his hand, for me, put me where I can feel the pillars that support the temple, so that I may lean against them. Now the temple was crowded with men and women of all, and all the rulers of the Philistines were there, and on the roof were about 3,000 men and women watching Samson perform. Samson prayed to the Lord, O sovereign Lord, remember me. O God, please strengthen me just once more, and let me with one blow get revenge on the Philistines for my two eyes. Samson reached out towards the two central pillars on which the temple stood, bracing himself against them, his right hand on one and his left hand on the other. Samson said, let me die with the Philistines. Then he pushed with all his might, and down came the temple on the rulers of all the people in it. Thus he killed many more when he died than while he lived. And then you read on and you see how they took his body and they buried him. Samson was not a good man in lots of ways, but he had the Spirit of God come upon him as God wanted to use him to defeat the Philistines. The whole period of Judges had been one in which Israel had rebelled against God, and God nevertheless had stayed with them. We saw how Gideon, a few weeks ago, we saw how Gideon defeated the Midianites without really lifting a finger, with the army that was reduced to 300 from 30,000. He reduced the size of their army with Gideon, and they went down and they surrounded the town, the camp, and they won the battle. That relieved them of the Midianites. Now, Samson had removed the threat of the Philistines. But if you read on in Judges, you see what really happened then. The people took it all for granted. They turned back to their sin and to their bad ways. And so the end of the Judges, as I say, it says quite simply, in those days, Israel had no king. Everyone did as he saw fit. What does sin do to people? It causes them to do as they seem fit. They're not interested in God. The only time they pray is when they're in trouble. How many times have you heard it? Oh God, help me. When they're in real trouble. And yet the rest of their lives they spent ignoring God completely. And that's what the people did. They only turned back to God when they were in real trouble. But there were judges sent to help them. Samson and Gideon being but two of them. Samson wasn't a good man, but God used him. And I think in some ways that's a bit like a church. We're not necessarily good. We're not sin-free. But God can use us. And I hope that over the next four years, now that Helen's back, I can say this, over the next 4 years, that God is going to bless this church, even though we're sinners, even though we do things wrong, even though we don't get it right, God can use us. And my prayer and my hope is that over the next 4 years, we're going to see evidence of that through the ministry, through the time of the ministry of Helen. Remember Samson. He wasn't good, but he achieved what God wanted him to achieve because God blessed him. So there's a lesson there for all of us in the story of Samson. Judges chapter 13 to 16 is what you need to read when you get home. And you'll read the whole story of Samson and all his foibles and all the things he did wrong. But have a look at the book of Judges, because it is a story that reminds us how often we might turn our back on God, but he will not turn his back on us. So even when we don't do things precisely as he would like, he will stick with us. He will support us. And my prayer is that God will stick with the church here in Leyndon and enable great things to happen. Not because we want them to, but because God wants them to. Shall we pray together? Lord, our Heavenly Father, we've heard the story of Samson this morning. And we pray, Lord, that you will give us something of its meaning. You will teach us from it. You'll enable us to see what you want us to see from this story of Samson this morning. Help us, O Lord, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now the final hymn.